Simon & Schuster Audio presents A Good Marriage by Stephen King. Read by Jessica Hecht.
A Good Marriage. 1. The one thing nobody asked in casual conversation, Darcy thought in the days after she found what she found in the garage, was this: how's your marriage? They asked how was your weekend, and how was your trip to Florida, and how's your health, and how are the kids? They even asked, how's life been treating you, hon? But nobody asked, how's your marriage? Good, she would have answered the question before that night. Everything's fine. She had been born Darcellen Madsen. Darcellen, a name only parents besotted with a freshly purchased book of baby names could love. In the year John F. Kennedy was elected president. She was raised in Freeport, Maine, back when it was a town instead of an adjunct to L.L. Bean, America's first superstore, and half a dozen other oversized retail operations of the sort that are called outlets, as if they were sewer drains rather than shopping locations. She went to Freeport High School, and then to Addison Business School, where she learned secretarial skills. She was hired by Joe Ransom Chevrolet, which by 1984, when she left the company, was the largest car dealership in Portland. She was plain, but with the help of two marginally more sophisticated girlfriends, learned enough makeup skills to make herself pretty on workdays and downright eye-catching on Friday and Saturday nights, when a bunch of them liked to go out for margaritas at the Lighthouse or Mexican Mike's, where there was live music. In 1982, Joe Ransom hired a Portland accounting firm to help him figure out his tax situation, which had become complicated.
The kind of problem you want to have, Darcy overheard him tell one of the senior salesmen.
A pair of briefcase-toting men came out, one old and one young. Both wore glasses and conservative suits. Both combed their short hair neatly away from their foreheads in a way that made Darcy think of the photographs in her mother's Memories of 54 senior yearbook. The one with the image of a boy cheerleader holding a megaphone to his mouth, stamped on its faux leather cover. The younger accountant was Bob Anderson. She got talking with him on their second day at the dealership, and in the course of their conversation, asked him if he had any hobbies. Yes, he said. He was a numismatist. He started to tell her what that was, and she said, I know, my father collects Lady Liberty dimes and Buffalo Head nickels. He says they're his numismatical hobby horse. Do you have a hobby horse, Mr. Anderson? He did. Wheat pennies. His greatest hope was to someday come across a 1955 double date, which was... But she knew that, too. The 55 double date was a mistake. A valuable mistake. Young Mr. Anderson, he of the thick and carefully combed brown hair, was delighted with this answer. He asked her to call him Bob. Later, during their lunch, which they took on a bench in the sunshine behind the body shop, a tuna on rye for him and a Greek salad in a Tupperware bowl for her, he asked if she would like to go with him on Saturday to a street sale in Castle Rock. He had just rented a new apartment, he said, and was looking for an armchair. Also a TV, if someone was selling a good one at a fair price. A good one at a fair price was a phrase with which she would grow comfortably familiar in the years to come. He was as plain as she was, just another guy you'd pass on the street without noticing, and would never have makeup to make him prettier. Except that day on the bench, he did.